Our reading for September 8th begins in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And as also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly, as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. We left off chapter 5 looking at wives and husbands. Then chapter 6, he starts off with children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And he uses the verse 2, honor your father and mother. All Jews would have been very familiar with this, and of course Gentiles needed to learn these particular things regarding the proper relationship between children and parents and the honoring of the father and mother, which I don't think ends when you turn 18. Honoring your father and mother is something that you do all of your life. Even when you are living independently, you still honor them. One of the ways that you honor them, as Jesus spoke about, was to take care of them in their older age, not to use any excuses to get around that particular commandment. In Mark chapter 7, beginning in verse 9, Jesus said, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do." This statement about it being the first commandment with a promise would probably be better served to have translated as the foremost commandment. And a lot of people disagree on what exactly Paul is referring to. I think what Paul is talking about in making that statement is that you cannot honor God if you won't even honor your parents. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. That's my opinion on the interpretation of it. Then we go into verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Again, I think he's talking about respect for authority. That translates over to God, and if you have a respect for God's authority and you revere him, then you will do well because you'll be approved by him. We've also recently talked about fathers not provoking their children, verse 4. being consistent in discipline, being trustworthy, being one that doesn't ill-treat their children or have any favoritism. But the primary responsibility of the father with his children is going to be to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And if we fail in that, then we have simply failed as a father. That's difficult to say and difficult to swallow, but it is a God-given responsibility that if you are shirking it, then you are shirking a commandment of the Lord. We've also talked previously about slaves and masters, and verse 5 through verse 9, he addresses this here. Slaves should be obedient to their earthly masters. None of us are slaves in the same way today, so I usually translate that into our work life. We work for somebody else. Make sure that we are fulfilling our responsibilities in the workplace, showing respect to our managers and our employers, and doing our work sincerely. And he says, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers. We've talked about that too, that's the idea of, well, when people are around, I'll do a good job, and whenever I'm by myself, maybe I'll slack off a little bit. Then he says, as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And so again, Paul connects the idea of service and respect for authority to service to God and respect for his authority. Verse 7, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. So even our work life falls under the judgment that we have from God, and we need to be aware of that so that we can conduct ourselves honorably and righteously in all things. Masters, do the same. Stop threatening. Know that he is both their master and yours is in heaven. There is no partiality with him. So likewise, if you're an employer, you're a manager, or even if you just hire someone to do some work for you or hire someone to fix something, whatever that might be, you need to be sure that you conduct yourselves honorably in a Christ-like manner and that you don't be overly harsh with anyone. The latter part of chapter 6 here, we're familiar with, called the armor of God. This idea of strengthen ourselves for that spiritual battle that we have to undertake. I'm not going to get into every little bit of this, but realize that the armor of God is a whole protection for us, a protection that is given by God, but it is a protection that we must equip and a protection we must take advantage of. So be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. It is his strength that matters in the battle. Put on that whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. You must realize that we have an adversary and that adversary is always looking for a way in. He's always looking for a vulnerability. And while we would not send our soldiers into battle and leave a part of the body exposed while we armor up the rest of them, we should not do that spiritually either. We need to put on the whole armor of God so that we are completely protected. Verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now, he's talking about evil. Don't take heavenly places as to be the abode of God in heaven, but really he's talking about that spiritual realm that is for those spiritual beings. I'll quickly go through these particular classifications, I guess you'd say, that he has here in verse 12. Principalities would be rulers, princes, those that are preeminent. Jude speaks of the angels which did not keep their first estate and left their own habitation. That was verse 6. Some commentators take this and say that he's talking about spiritual beings there when he's talking about principalities. The powers would be those in authority or having power. They have had the right to act as a result of their freedom to direct others. If we take all of this to be spiritual, then this would be spiritual as well. Don't take it in terms of we're wrestling against our own government, for government is ordained by God. Then cosmic powers over this present darkness. Came across another translation that said world rulers of this darkness. Again, I think he's talking about spiritually. He's not talking about human kings or the president or anything like that. He's talking about those that act for Satan to bring the world under their control. Remember that Paul spoke elsewhere of those that would disguise themselves as angels of light, but they were really angels of Satan or messengers of Satan. Then we get into the spiritual forces of evil, and that would be those in the spiritual realm which seduce the righteous to turn toward evil ways. So what he's warning us against is the fact that we have adversaries on every side. And if you have so many adversaries, then you need to be prepared for that battle. And that battle is going to be ongoing, continuous. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. I think there's an implication there that if you don't have the whole armor on, you won't be able to stand. You won't be able to withstand in that evil day. So stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and his shoes for your feet, the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Take up the shield of faith, allowing you to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So all of these pieces of armor are covering all the vital parts of the body. You can't stand without being able to have your feet. The belt holds everything together, which would be the truth. You can't have anything without the truth. The breastplate of righteousness to protect all those vital areas of your chest. The shield of faith, which allows us to hunker down, if you will, when we're under attack, allowing us to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. The helmet of salvation, protect the head. The sword of the Spirit, which we can use to both guard and to attack. That is the word of God. But even all of that armor is not enough. You have to be praying at all times in the Spirit. You have to be spiritually minded. You have to be taking advantage of that communication with God, making your requests known to Him with all prayer and supplication. And we have to keep alert, being persevere, thinking about not only ourselves, but also all the saints, making supplication for them. And then Paul puts himself in there, also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which he is an ambassador in chains, that he may declare it boldly. So there's a lot to take in there, but the point is, you're always going to be in this spiritual battle. There is no time in which you get to take the armor off and relax. There is no time in which you are safe until you're safe in heaven with God. You are always in danger of temptation and in danger from these spiritual forces. Then his final thoughts were regarding sending someone to give them a report that he would tell them about Paul. And he says that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And then he gives them the final greeting of peace be with them. Thank you for listening today. Please come back tomorrow for another reading from the Word of God. And please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.